Hello, this is Homicide Solution, and today is the slightly late issue of July 2010. I had some technical refurbishment in the office, so that was the cause for the delay. I've got some new bits and pieces, modernized some of the recording equipment, so but hopefully you'll forgive me, and then let's just dive into it. Let's see what we have in store for today. What we have in store for today is the different... Cut it here. Today we are going to take a closer look at whether you should run a sales and marketing department or to run an integrated business development department. Do you happen to know what Hitler and Napoleon had in common? Well, besides their megalomania, each of them had only one testicle. This amazing fact reminds me of many IT companies and their business development executives who don't have the balls to make long-term commitments and investments and unite sales and marketing, but rely on their sales legions doing cold prospecting grunt work to keep their companies alive. And while they are busy cold calling and tearing down doors, what do marketers do? They sit in their air-conditioned offices and invent fancy slogans and cute images. And at the end of the fiscal quarter, management praises marketers for the great and creative work they've done and beats up the sales folks for failing to bring in quota. Again. And now the freshly praised marketers set out to create some more useless slogans and images, while salespeople would like to go to the pub, drown their sorrow in booze, and get drunk as a skunk. And they often do. One of the biggest problems with business development is that in most IT companies it doesn't exist. What they have instead is separated silos of sales, marketing, and here and there a little bit of client service. Salespeople regard the marketing folks as creative clowns, and marketing folks regard sales folks as losers who permanently got stuck at the bottom rung of the professional achievement ladder and don't have the brains to get decent jobs. And there are the client services folks who usually are minimum wage, grossly underqualified or even unqualified people, putting in minimum effort until they find better jobs. If you've ever dealt with your web hosting company, you know what I mean. Yes, there are pros like Bluehost.com or DreamHost.com, but most of them are borderline disaster zones when it comes to client service. So there's a conflict among information technology, sales, marketing, and client services. One of the main reasons of this conflict is the compensation and working conditions. Marketing people are paid straight salaries plus bonuses. They live in their cute little ivory towers, paying little or no attention to what the sales folks are doing. They are too busy doing their creative magic of creating fancy slogans and cutesy images and organize promotional campaigns. Well, whatever that campaign means. All in all, they are not accountable for contributing to revenue generation. They are there as a kind of organizational parasites. Now look at the sales department. The month is over and the cute promotional campaign has bombed again. The sales folks get beaten up because they fail to bring in enough money to pay the rent, the overheads, and the nice bonuses for the creative souls in marketing. And some of the sales folks who exceed their quotas have their commissions reduced and quotas increased so their incomes can be capped at a quote-unquote reasonable level and more money can be taken away from them to finance more and more losing marketing campaigns. Also, the company wants to make sure that the salespeople, regardless how hard they work and how much they produce, don't get sort of obscenely wealthy. After all, management wants to keep salespeople under control, and when they are wealthy, they may decide to leave because now they have the money to maneuver around between companies. So they have to be kept sufficiently poor. So some sales folks get pissed off and leave. This explains the 43% annual attrition among sales staff. And of course, they take lots of their clients with them, which is another slap in the face for the company. And there's nothing the company can do about it. And now look at the client service folks. They are expected to keep in touch with clients, present new offers to them, and answer some questions they may have regarding the products and services they've purchased. Since these people are paid for the number of calls they make, they don't really care about engaging meaningful conversations. They are too keen on jumping on the next call to make their call quotas. The number of people they quote-unquote helped, whatever that help means. So you have three groups of people who are treated and compensated totally differently, thus work against each other. So what do you really expect of them? And on the top of all this mess, most companies have an antagonistic corporate culture in which spying on each other, backstabbing, power struggles, rank pulling, threatening, gossiping, and personal attacks are daily events. And even if management doesn't encourage it, it accepts it and turns a blind eye to it, saying that, hey, we have to maintain a certain amount of conflict so people can thrive on that chaos and conflict. So when we have three distantly related departments, then what we expect is that 100 people pull the corporate cart in 101 different directions. The funny thing is, though, that most of these people either don't give a shit about their company's success or diligently work towards their own personal successes, even at the company's expense. A 1990 poll revealed that 17% of employees felt it was all right to steal small items from their employers. I guess that term small item is pretty relative. For some folks, a bulldozer is a small item. In 1999, 9 years later, this figure has jumped from 17% to 37%. That's pretty impressive. The Gallup organization has made a statement. Now we have people debating the relevance of the Ten Commandments. Is the first one applicable? The second, third, or fourth? Should we ignore the one on adultery? Is bearing false witness really lying? Oh, maybe not. Sad though this may sound, this is how so many companies operate. And information technology is right on the top of the employee apathy ladder. Let's take a closer look at the components of information technology business development. So let's see how the business development process breaks down segment by segment. One segment is marketing, that includes positioning your company, packaging your products and services, and promoting them. Of course, it takes a bit of time and investment, and since we live in a short-fused society, most IT companies want it all, want it now, want it world-class, and want it free, or at least very, very cheap. So they skimp on marketing and start selling something no one knows about. They hire an army of peddlers and send them out to chase after the market and start convincing them to buy something they've never heard about. These high-powered salespeople typically use emotions like fear, shame, guilt to pressurize prospects to buy their stuff. And now we have sales. Sales is turning the best qualified prospects, best qualified leads, into paying clients. Many IT companies spend far too much time on this, far too much time and effort, energy, and neglect the other two. They are focused on hunt, chase, hound and pound techniques to bludgeon prospects into submission and grab their money as much as humanly possible. These salespeople have their mantra, tear their doors down, barge in and hammer them until they give you money. Don't take no for an answer. Keep harassing them until one of you dies. And similar mantras. So, rather interesting. Coming from the old-fashioned sales trainers that are still training their victims in the kind of hardcore, high-pressure selling. We all have met these professional trained salespeople who may well be great folks in normal life but were trained to be slime balls in order to sell. Actually, I attended a small business course in the mid-90s in the UK, and there was a counselor in our class who was about to start her private practice. She spoke up when the sales trainer talked about objections and why objections are really buying signals. So essentially, that was her comment, it was amazing. So essentially what you're saying is, using dating as an example, that the louder the woman screams no, the harder you work on raping her, because no really means yes, and really and truly she wants to be raped. Well, the instructor was a bit speechless, to say the least, and the comparison made me think about sales objections, and different people have different beliefs. I believe no is no, but I may be totally wrong here. But I also believe that if someone says no to my offer, I should respect her decision, even if I go home empty-handed. After all, there are only certain people who want to buy your stuff. You can't sell running shoes to paraplegics. And of course, paraplegic will object, no, no, I don't want it, I don't want your shoes. And that's right, he doesn't want your shoes, because paraplegics don't spend that much time running. It's just so simple. So if there's a clear mismatch between your prospect's needs and your services, then what's the point in forcing the issue? Now, then we have client service. It's about providing ongoing support for clients for long-term relationships. The problem is that in many companies, these folks are minimum wage people from the bottom region of the unemployment line. They usually have minimum education, minimum loyalty, minimum commitment to doing a great job at what they do. So just among sales folks, the annual attrition rate of service folks is very high. I would say it's even higher than sales folks. In a way, I think there are two types of service departments. In one of them, the mantra is, our job is to react to our clients' problems in a knee-jerk manner whenever they come to us and patch up the symptoms. Do you know why most company service departments have customer from hell specialists? Maybe because only a customer service from hell department would accept customers from hell. And we have the other type of service department with the mantra that our job is to proactively control our clients' experiences and making their futures as successful as we can. This requires an anticipatory approach and collaborative relationship, but most IT companies are not willing to invest in hiring good folks for this function. In a way, this is just as stupid as hiring minimum wage receptionists, because the receptionist is just a receptionist, like any idiot can do that. What they fail to realize is that the reception is the very first contact for a prospect who is about to inquire about your services. And whether or not that deal goes somewhere depends entirely on that receptionist. Prospects usually don't call individual salespeople when they decide to do business with your company. They call the main switchboard number and they end up with the receptionist. So now you have to think what sort of receptionist to hire. Now let's look at the individual segments created by these three departments. So first we have marketing and sales, but due to the lack of client service, there's an atrocious client attrition. It is the typical revolving door. Clients come in through the front door and leave through the back door, well, pretty quickly. Then we have sales and service, but management has decided to skimp on marketing, so there is very little interest, and selling is a constant uphill struggle. You have to explain to people one by one what actually you're selling, what it is all about, because people don't know about your company and your products and services. And it's bloody expensive. It looks cheap on the surface because companies tend to say we don't waste our money in marketing. What they don't realize is marketing can cost a little bit, can cost a bit initially, and then that cost comes down significantly to a maintenance level. Whereas this marketing less selling costs a lot on an ongoing basis. It never comes down. It's as long as you spend the money, you can make sales. It also assumes that selling is a numbers game. So the more people you harass, the more people you can sell to. But it's not about harassment, really. And now we have good marketing and good client service. But there's a problem turning those prospects into paying clients. The typical examples are internet marketing and search engine optimization firms. What they call is that they have so-called amazing marketing because they rank at 10,000 billion zillion gazillion on Google. Amazing search engine ranking. They have backlinks oozing out of their ears, but they have to maintain armies of peddlers roaming the land to literally snatch people and arm twist them into becoming clients. But realistically, when we look at segment 4 on the diagram, that's how the integrated business development is supposed to operate, that sales, marketing and client service is really one integrated department, one culture, one value system and all that. It's just like in the military example again, US Marines. You have Marines for different functions. You have within the Marine Corps, you have snipers, you have recon, the recon unit, you have this, that unit. But all these little units operate under the aegis of the US Marines. Same values, same mantra, same operating principles. And that's what we have to achieve in business development. And now we have to take a look at the culture. And with that, we've also arrived at management. Actually, management is single-handedly responsible for 65% of employee attrition. Here are some of the reasons why people leave. Not being treated with respect. Prevented from making a difference. Not being listened to. Not being given responsibility. And somewhere at the end of the line is low pay. And let's stop here for a moment. People still believe it's common HR belief that people are motivated by money. No, they are not. They are demotivated by lack of money. But they don't perform better just because you pay them more. Actually, on a subconscious level, human beings do their best at any one time. And when you have people in your employment who are quote-unquote money motivated, then you know you've made a hiring mistake. Because hiring people who are money motivated is the military equivalent of recruiting people who have psychopathic tendencies, who are motivated by blood, motivated by bloodshed, motivated by carnage, motivating by unspeakable slaughter. And they join the army with the opportunity, I hope I can kill lots of people. In a way, it's a gross example, but it's the same. And look at companies that are staffed, or I would say stuffed with money-motivated people. One thing is certain, they are not high-performing teams, high-performing companies. They are sort of performing. And as you can see, people are looking for more than money. So to read more on this misbelief or disbelief, read some of the stuff from Dan Pink. His recent book, Drive, gives an amazing example on this. And look up his videos. You can also find some videos in the email I sent, in which I sent you the link to this newsletter. There's a section, if you scroll down, that it's called Events Worth Paying Attention To or something like that, and I put some links there. How do we build a kick-ass business development team that actually works and produces results? We have to include a grossly overlooked element of this equation, the culture of the organization and the attitude and atmosphere in the department. The business development department should be treated as a team with an independent leader and an independent budget. Forget about sales, marketing, and client service as separate silos. Make sure that these three functions are seamlessly blended and integrated into a conducive culture in which people are naturally inspired to do their best and beyond day after day. We know from the 11th of September events, terrorist events, what can happen when departments fail to communicate. Allegedly, I can say allegedly because nobody knows for sure, the cover-up was just pretty intense, it's still pretty intense. Allegedly, all major security agencies knew about the Al-Qaeda attacks for some time, and lack of communication between those agencies was one of the causes of that devastation. Change the whole culture from that of sales reps managing accounts to that of respected experts building relationships to improve their clients' businesses. So just think about it for a moment. If I came to you and said, hey, do you want to sign up to be my account? I promise I manage you well. Now, how compelling is that? Probably no more compelling than a plane crash. People stop looking at the corpses. But doesn't really sexy. But if I said to you, Joe, you said including all advertising, traveling, food and hotel costs, it costs you $45,000 to land a new client. And then he says, yes, I think we could reduce that to somewhere between $14,000 and $16,000. Should we talk about it? And then if Joe decides that reducing costs of acquisition from $45,000 to $16,000 is justifiable, he will talk to you. Remember, the inside reality of your company becomes its outside perception. You can fool some people a few times, but not all the people all the time. Using the analogy of a personal relationship, marketing can be seen as dating, selling as the wedding, and the client service, the post-sale service, as a long-term relationship. Unfortunately, many IT companies' business development activities have a nasty resemblance of date rape. They have no marketing, the quoting process in place. They just want to sell right away at the first meeting. So reps go out, set up dates, and twist their prospects' arms until they give in and buy, hand over the money. IT companies also have to put large emphasis on creating the right culture and environment inside their organizations. So why is the environment so important? First, what is culture? According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, culture is the integrated pattern of human knowledge, belief, and behavior that depends upon man's capacity for learning and transmitting knowledge to succeeding generations. A set of shared attitudes, values, goals, and practices that characterizes a company or corporation. So heed this. You can have the best office, best products, best service, best technology, and best people, but realistically, best people don't join shitty cultures. And all this stuff is not worth more states until you have a supportive culture to envelop all this. The equipment, the people, your suppliers, your clients, your associates, all the people. So let's start at the beginning and call it, let's say, a Pygmalion effect. But feel free to call it Management 101. Someday your schools will teach this basic principle. In George Bernard Shaw's play, Pygmalion, Eliza Doolittle married Freddie Eynsford Hill because she recognized that in Professor Higgins' perception, she had always been and would always be a Cockney flower girl, and the professor would treat her accordingly. She knew that the arrogant Higgins would never accept the changes in Eliza, the improvements. She knew he would always treat her the same way regardless of what she achieves. As she said to Freddie, the difference between a flower girl and a lady is not how she behaves, but how she's treated. I have always been and always be a flower girl to Professor Higgins because she treats me as one. But I know that I will be a lady to you because you treat me as one. Of course, behavior matters a lot, but the treatment defines the behavior. People live up or live down to the levels at which others treat them. So when you work on your company's business development, first make sure that you have the right culture which you can maintain and further improve. This way, whatever improvement you achieve will last and people can further improve it. So then look at cultural ingredients like corporate and departmental visions, mission, strategy, alignment of personal goals with corporate objectives. The key is to empower people to be the best they can be every day. So in summary, yes, it's possible to run a fragmented sales and marketing department. Many IT companies do that because it looks easier on the surface. What's also easier than building a great integrated business development team is setting up individual quotas for salespeople and pitting them against each other using some pay-for-performance scam. A short while ago, Michael McLaughlin of Management Consulting News did an interview with Dan Pink on motivation, and this is how Dan summed up the problem. My advice would be to remember that the individuals you're leading are not that different from you. Managers will say to me, well, I have the desire to direct my own life, master things, and to be part of something bigger, but not everybody's like that. If you give some people autonomy, they'll just shirk. First of all, I don't buy that because I don't think people are that much different from you and me. Second, if you think the only way some people will be motivated and accountable is if you bribe them, then why do you want them working for your organization in the first place? And Dan has a good question here. And I just go back to that old saying that birds of the feather, corrupt organizations end up attracting corrupt people who have to be bribed to get work out of them. Great organizations attract great people who do their work because they actually love what they do. Many years ago, my dad was a master painter and decorator, and he taught me lots of things about painting and putting up wallpapers. The whole idea behind putting up wallpapers is that you want to make sure that when on the wall, the individual rows look like one gigantic sheet of wallpaper and you can't see the seams between the rows. You can put up the roll in such a way that the bare walls are visible between the edges. And that does the job. In a practical sense, most of the wall surface is covered, but how much does it add to the overall beauty of the room? None. Not a sausage. And how much does it take away? A lot. A hell of a lot. When you have sales and marketing folks, they can do the job. They can look impressively busy to achieve some level of success, but it still feels like driving your car in second gear with the handbrake on, at least halfway on. But when you have a seamlessly integrated business development team, then you can say you are on your way to some great success. I also dare to say that good business development is marketing heavy. Your company provides great content, so your prospects are digesting your content. They can conclude that you are the only serious game in town and you are worth every penny you charge. And what can establish that? White papers, basically. Survey after survey shows that white papers are really the bee's knees in the business-to-business world. And now let's go back to Napoleon and Hitler and the grand total of their bowls, which, as we remember from the beginning of the Arctic podcast, is a grand total of one per person. Similarly, a fully integrated business development team may well have significantly fewer balls than a legion-sized sales force, but on the grand scale of things, they can achieve more revenue per employee basis. I almost said they can achieve more on a revenue per ball basis, but considering that there might be women in the business development department, that would be sort of biologically incorrect statement. So, but in terms of courage, okay, let's use that, and they can achieve more revenue per ball if we look at the ladies, as the, you may remember the old AC/DC song. Ladies got balls. And this should be our guiding light. Let's forget about gross revenue and let's focus on revenue or profit per employee. And since we are in the knowledge worker age, it's pretty much revenue per brain cell. Business development people are competing not with their muscles but with their brains. And in spite of their ballsiness, both Napoleon and Hitler had their miscalculations too. That's what we all do from time to time. Both Hitler and Napoleon underestimated the notoriously harsh Russian winter and caused their armies unspeakable losses. Running a fragmented group of people called the sales and marketing, may also sound ballsy, but it's a sign of underestimating the marketplace. Yes, it's doable, but the losses can be pretty significant. And every lost person is costing the company 15 times of the person's gross compensation. And this is worth considering when structuring your business development force. So that was Tomicide Solutions, July 2010, and we discussed whether you should focus on building a sales and marketing department or a fully integrated business development department. So hopefully you found something valuable in it, and in the meantime enjoy the summer, and we'll talk in a few weeks' time.